to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
I want to teach you a very basic Bible doctrine that you have got to get a hold of. I start this message by saying this. We are so favored by God. We are blessed. I think of the 23rd Psalm, right at the end of the Psalm, where it says, the psalmist said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen. That's the path of my life. Every day, as I surrender to God, I find God's blessing. Amen. Every day, I find fulfillment and purpose. Mary Bishop going home to be with God, and make no mistake about it, she is with God. She's at home. And there's a reminder to me that the best is yet to come. Amen. I know there was no small stir in the holy city as loved ones of Mary, word spread through the crowd. You know how those bishops like to talk. Word spread through the crowd, hey, Mary's coming today. This is the day that Mary comes. And you know there was a group of people, including Russell, waiting to greet her and welcome her home. I got a text on Tuesday to go visit a man that's just been put into hospice. He's at home. And I went to his house. He lives in the area. And no one was home. I left a message. Next morning, I got up. First thing, I went to his house again. I didn't know how much time he's got. His name is Chuck. And a church member was concerned about him, asked if I'd go visit him. I stuck my head in the door, in the screen door, and said, I heard a big grunt, and I said, hey, this is Pastor Rader. Do you mind if I come in? He looked around and said, oh, I know who you are. Come on in. And so I came in, and we sat in his living room, and Chuck gloriously received Christ as his Savior. Gave him the gospel. Lived his whole life just a short distance from this church. Never knew how to be saved. Never knew how to be born again. I'm glad to tell you that Chuck is one day going to be with God in his heaven. I rejoice in that. And I was able to share with him that it is a no-soul salvation. I just want to play, I want to take some words this morning, and in this message, I want to teach. By coming in the side door, I want to teach the doctrine of eternal security. I want you to know that I stand this morning in the mainstream of New Testament Christianity. I stand in the mainstream of Bible exposition. I don't stand alone. Men before me, there were great men of God, stood in this same stream. Men like Charles Haddon Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, Gypsy Smith, J. Frank Norris, Robert Ketchum, Peter the Fisherman, John the Beloved, the Apostle Paul. Amen. Jesus himself said, I give unto you eternal life, and you shall never perish. I'm talking about the doctrine of eternal security. Just some simple thoughts this morning. I'm not going to take a single text and exegete it. And I try to do that in every message. But this morning, because of the breadth of this message, I'm going to try to just cover as much as I possibly can. Understand this morning. Salvation cannot be bought or bartered for. We don't receive it by silver or gold or making deals with God. The scripture tells us, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. In fact, in introduction, please take your Bibles and go to Galatians and chapter 1. You say, oh, I know what you're going to read there. Well, maybe you do, but turn to Galatians and chapter 1 and verse 6. Don't try to humanize God's gospel. If the book of Galatians teaches anything, it teaches salvation by grace alone, and not according to our own righteousness, which you couldn't fill up a thimble with. My righteousness is the same way. All of our righteousnesses is as filthy rags. I don't do it. You do not humanize the gospel of Jesus Christ by putting your own little twist on it. The Bible tells us in verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert or twist the gospel of Christ. But though, and this is what Paul says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. What gospel did Paul preach? The gospel of grace. I can't do anything to earn God's salvation, and I can't do anything to keep salvation. It's all of grace. It's all of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It says here in verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Paul said, man, the easy way would be to preach salvation by good works, because everybody would applaud me. But that's not the gospel that God, the good news that God has provided for sinful mankind. It's all of grace. If there was another way to heaven, the Son of God would not have had to come to this earth in the form of man and hang on Calvary for 6 hours and bleed out for my sin. It took the blood of the very Lamb of God, the blood atonement. The only way I'm going to heaven. And if you're audacious enough to think you can work your way to heaven, you are going counter to the Word of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And if you are audacious enough to think that you are good enough to stay in that grace of God by your own good works, man, you are a fool. You are not a thinker. You understand it's all of God. I preach and I believe what the Bible teaches is a salvation that is a forever salvation. Jesus said it would be not temporary life, but eternal life. No personal righteousness can obtain it or keep it. It's all of God. Once you have it, it's forever. But there's the question. Do you have it? A lot of people claim to have salvation, and they're no more saved than the dog in their backyard. There are a lot of professors, but not everybody is a possessor. Amen. Let me tell you this. The evangelist said it 2 weeks ago at camp, If you didn't want Jesus, you didn't get salvation. You got religion. You need to understand there's one way to God's heaven, and it's the Savior, Jesus Christ. You obtain it with a simple heart cry. It's a simple step of faith. It's not hard at all. Jesus did all the work. When he hung on the cross, he said, it's finished. Not like you got to keep on going at it. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote the church of Corinth, probably the most wicked, carnal church in the New Testament, he never told them they had to get born again. He never told them that. Salvation is all of Christ. But the danger is this. You don't have it. Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew in chapter 7. I may or may not get to my message this morning. Matthew in chapter 7, verse 23. Some of you, you've heard me preach for 35 years and you've heard this text. Maybe some of you are here this morning and you never heard it before. Listen to what Jesus said. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, this is at the great white throne, Lord, have we not prophesied or preached in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Not, I don't know you. I never knew you. These aren't people that were saved and lost it. That's not possible. These are people that were never saved, but they did all the outward stuff. Now, I got to say this. You don't have a license to sin if you're saved by grace. God's going to spank me when I do wrong because he loves me. or in Hebrews chapter 12, I have a heavenly Father. I'm not a bastard, spiritual bastard. So when I do wrong, he corrects me. If you can do wrong, you can live a life of rebellion and wickedness, and you don't get corrected by God, then I guess you're probably not saved. You need a heavenly Father. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and be born again. Here's the good news. Go back to John and chapter 10. John and chapter 10. Let's think about it like this. Now, the greatest truth is I'm forever saved, but think about it like this. Let's just kind of use a false premise. Here are five steps to losing your salvation. Five things it's impossible to do. But if I could lose my salvation, this is what would have to be done. In John in chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. This is Jesus. If you got a red letter Bible, you know that. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. There's obedience. And I give them, and the obedience doesn't save them, but there's obedience. That is the fruit of salvation, not the root of salvation. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Eternal life. Never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Notice the word man's in italics. I'm a TR guy. I'm a King James guy. But in the Textus Receptus, the word man isn't there. Man was put in 1611 by the translators. And it put in that we would have a better understanding of what this passage is saying. But really, what the Word of God is telling us is there isn't a man big enough to take me out of the hand of God. There isn't a force big enough to take me out of the hand of God. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. It is a no-so salvation. Same Gospel of John. Let's go back to chapter 3. John and chapter 3. Verses 3 through 7. If you are going to lose your salvation, you must abort yourself from the new birth. You're born once, you're going to die twice. You're born twice, you're only going to die once. Maybe not even that. The trumpet may sound beforehand. Say, preacher, what are you saying? In order to be, you can't be unborn. Jesus used these words very exactly. Now think about it. You say, well, what about abortion? Somebody could be aborted, but the baby doesn't cease to exist. You understand? They're not annihilated. That baby, thank the Lord, because of the mercy of God, and I can say this based upon the teaching of the Word of God, that baby goes to heaven. Isn't annihilated, doesn't cease to exist, still has a heavenly Father. Amen. You cannot be unborn. You cannot abort yourself from the family of God. It says here in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that's physical birth, and of the Spirit, that's spiritual birth, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh, that's earthly birth, fleshly birth, is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit, that's being born again, is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Amen. In fifth grade, when I received Christ, I was born anew. I was born again into the family of God. I became spiritually alive for the first time in my life. And it can't be aborted. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Look at John in chapter 6 and verse 37. Turn over a few chapters. Chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That's a promise of God. Can't be unborn. I cannot unseal my soul. I don't have the right to do that. It can't be done. Just like I can't abort my new birth, it can't be done. It cannot be done. I cannot unseal my soul. It cannot be done. That is only the job of the King. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Unseal your soul, can't be done. The seal of the King. Now, some of you know this. When the Bible was written, if something had the seal of the King on it, it was like a hot wax, and they'd take the emblem of the king, and they'd put it in that hot wax, and it had the emblem of Caesar, whoever it was, and nobody was allowed to open that except the person it was addressed to. I mean, that was it. Nobody could unseal it. I am sealed by God, the Holy Spirit. The day I got saved, I received the mark of God. It says in Ephesians 1, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Chapter 4 and verse 30 says the same thing. Let me read it, almost the same thing. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I've got the mark of God on my life. I can't unseal my soul. I belong to God. I can't leave. I'm not big enough for that. I can't jump out of the hand of God. You or the devil aren't big enough to break that seal. Number 3, I cannot divorce myself from the family of God. It cannot be done. John 1:12, but as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5 says, to redeem them unto the law, to receive the adoption of sons. We are adopted into the family of God. I could go to Romans in chapter 8, and it talks about the fact that we're joint heirs with Christ because we're members now of the family of God, and I cannot divorce myself from the family of God. You see, I read in a paper one time where a teenage girl didn't like her mom or her dad, and she divorced her family. Doesn't matter, she's still their daughter. I mean, maybe it's on paper, but she's still their daughter. A boy divorces his dad. Say what you want to say, but he still has the DNA of his father. He cannot leave his father. And I was born, I was translated by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, because of the blood atonement from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. I was adopted into the family of God. And I can't just decide I'm not going to be a member of the family anymore. Doesn't happen. Man, I can't be unborn. I can't be unsealed. I can't be divorced from the family of God. A great promise. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans in chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8. Verses 15 through 17. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. By the way, lose your salvation. False doctrine. It's not a license to sin. To say you believe in eternal security, it's bigger than that. Man, now you're making yourself, now God is the one that's going to correct you when you're wrong. All right, so there's no license to sin. It's not lasciviousness. That's not what it's about. That is a doctrine that the devil invented. But if you truly get born again, you're born again forever. Does everybody that says they're born again, are they? No. God knows those that are his. Those that are genuinely saved. And we're adopted into his family. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together with him. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed into the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. I can't preach this text. I preached this text not too long ago. I hope you understand. That means after you get born again, you are predestined to be conformed into the image of Christ. You are as good as in heaven already. The down payment has already been made. This is the same passage where Paul said, what can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Look at the last two verses of this passage. For I am persuaded. Paul said, tie me up and beat me with a stick. But I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Then he talks about abstract, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. That kind of covers it all. Amen. From the devil on up, right. That covers everybody and everything. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. If I'm going to lose my salvation, then I've got to divorce myself from the family of God. Can't be done. I'm not big enough. Romans chapter 2, verse 28. I'm going to hit this quick. I hope you understand what I'm talking about. I'd have to uncircumcise my heart. Paul, writing the letter to the, in the book of Romans, writing the letter to these Christians, they're saying, you that are Jews by birth, circumcised in the flesh. There's no return from that. Once you do it, that's the way your body is, right? And it was a sign of the covenant between God and Abraham and God and Abraham's seed. He said, you that are Jews by nature, that's not good enough. You need to be Jews by the Spirit. It's your heart that needs to be circumcised. Again, very exact language. You can't be uncircumcised. It can't happen. Verse 28 says, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. There's no going back. Understand, when you belong to God, you belong to God. You have the mark of God upon your life. You can choose to be that carnal Christian that's described in the Word of God, but it never ends well. Now you're going to heaven, but the path of earth, the pilgrimage, is next to hell on earth. You talk about, no, it's not hell, but you talk about tough times. Listen, teenager, you turn your back on God as a child of God, God loves you so much, you aren't going to get away with it. It's going to be tough. And I know that Pastor Rader, I feel like it's happened this summer, where I feel like I'm jumping down teenagers' throats all the time. You know, I'm just looking for a chance to stomp them because I hate teenagers. You know, and I'm just looking for something that they're doing wrong so I can nail their hides to the wall. And boy, that's not it. Don't ever think that. Don't be cynical like that. Amen. Man, that's not it. I want you to know God's blessing. Amen. I want you to know God's best. Don't sit back and say, I don't want God's best. You don't know what you're saying if you ever say that. Amen. Don't go there. You can't uncircumcise your heart. I don't know what this says, but I got it written down. Let's go to Colossians in chapter 2. Colossians in chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Oh, yeah, it's good. It's good. I was hoping it was something I wrote down on purpose. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. You can't be uncircumcised. I just want to tell you, God hasn't lost anybody yet. And he's never going to. John chapter 17, the Lord's Prayer. He's not going to lose a one. You're his sheep. You are his sheep. You are part of his family. You have the mark of God. You're sealed. You can't amputate yourself from the body of Christ. Last thought. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. Verse 13. And then verse 18 and then verse 27. You don't have the power to chase God away. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized. That's spiritual baptized. We're immersed into the body of Christ. Immersed into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Look at verse 18. But now hath God set the members of every one of them in the body as it hath pleased him. Look at verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, by design. We make up, it's a metaphor, it describes the church of Jesus Christ. God describes us as a building, and God describes us in several different ways, the bride. Here he describes us as the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We've been adopted into that family, and we are part of the body of Christ here in this world doing the work of God. And God, by design, he knows who you are. He placed you in the body. He saved you by design and placed you in the body to help fulfill the work of the Great Commission. And you can't amputate yourself from that body. It's not going to happen. You're not big enough. It can't be done. 1 Peter chapter 2. Would you turn over there quickly? Last passage. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. You see, it's an act of God, the salvation of a soul. I led Chuck to the Lord. I did not save Chuck. I could not save him. I'm just a sinner. But I know the Savior. And I introduced him to the Savior. And he got born again. He's in Green Bay, Wisconsin this morning. But it was real salvation. And he became a member of the body of Christ. And it's his forever. Now Chuck is approaching the end of his life. He's going to get a lot done for God, but he can get something done for God. But he's just as much a member as the man that's been saved for 50 years and served God faithfully. Verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. That means purchased. Doesn't mean you got a funny twitch, right? That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had obtained mercy, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. It's a forever salvation. It's never going to end. When I got saved as a fifth grade boy, I started at that morning, it was pre-noon, I started to live forever. I started my forever life. See, Pastor, did you ever let God down in the space of all those years since? Time and time again. Pastor, did you ever commit sin? Time and time again. That's why the Apostle Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Yep. The fact is, we're still sinners. Yep. We're still in this body and we're still on this earth. And we haven't received our glorified body. But we're not saved because of ourselves. We're saved because of the righteousness of Christ. It's the grace of God. That's why I'm going to heaven. And it is an oh-so salvation. Pastor Josh read the passage this morning. He that hath the Son hath life. These things have I written unto you that ye might know that ye have eternal life. Not here today, gone tomorrow. Forever. Make sure you're saved. If you're saved, we'll see one another in heaven. Amen. A lot of people claim to salvation. They're just practicing religion. I don't want to confuse you, but a prayer isn't going to get you to heaven. It's repentance that gets you to heaven. That's right. You call upon Christ. What did the evangelist say again? If the day you got saved, you didn't want Christ, you don't have salvation. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The gospel that I preach, the message that I preach, the doctrine of eternal life, it's exactly what Spurgeon preached. Ketchum preached. Gypsy Smith. John R. Rice. Great Bible theologians from days gone by. It's not new. It's what the Word of God teaches. Make sure you're saved.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.